A few weeks ago, I began talking about the idea of giving evidence to people. We're here to represent the Lord. We're going to look at that in the afternoon service, Lord willing, in Genesis chapter 1. We're representatives, and you can see that throughout Scripture. But as representatives on this earth to not only creation, but even now to man who has rebelled against the Lord, we want to represent the Lord to people and help people be drawn to Him. And a lot of people, they're drawn to God, but they're drawn to the wrong God. They know there's a God, but they're drawn to the wrong God. I mean, there's Catholicism, of course. There's Hindus and Muslims and everything else. People know there's a God, but they're drawn to the wrong gods. And even people who believe in Jesus Christ and the God of the Bible, they largely believe in misrepresentations of that God, which lead them astray. And so we want to help people, whether they believe in the God of the Bible or whether they don't, whether they're saved or whether they're not, we want to give evidence to show them the way. This is the way, walk ye in it, right? You'll hear a voice behind thee saying. We want to give evidence to these people. And this is not a scriptural designation, but there's four different kinds of people we looked at generally. And two of them are lost, and two of them we would consider saved individuals. On the lost side, you have those who, they don't believe in the God of the Bible. They don't believe in God very much, or they don't give much attention to Him. We'd call them atheists, or just people who don't really give much attention to God in their life. There's a force out there, or there's a God maybe, but I don't think about that. We call them maybe deists or something like that. And they need evidence. They need to know, hey, there is a God, and you need to find out who He is and what He's like. We need to give evidence to them. There's people, though, who believe in God, maybe even the God of the Bible, at least they would think so, like Jews or other religions who would claim to believe in the God of the Bible. But they teach error when it comes to knowing that God, when it comes to being saved from their sins. They work for their salvation. There's the Amish, there's the Catholics, there's the Jehovah Witnesses, which many would consider, and I would too, a cult. And you have the Latter-day Saints. You have all these other groups. You have even Baptists that misrepresent the Lord in that way. You have Methodists, all of them. You could say, well, there's so many out there, and they misrepresent the Lord, yet they claim to believe in the God of the Bible, and they need evidence too. They need evidence of who God really is, who Jesus Christ really is, and what He really said. And so we want to give evidence to those groups of people. Then you have, on the other side, the saved individuals. And generally you have two classes, and sometimes we can be in either one. Oftentimes, perhaps we are. You have those who are growing more and more. Generally, they're on a trajectory of going deeper and deeper into the Lord, knowing Him more and more, and walking with Him closer and closer. And then you have, on the other side, those who are getting further away, becoming more and more worldly. Now, that doesn't mean that the emotion's different. Okay, some people who sometimes people, they love the Lord, you know, oh, I'm just worshiping the Lord, but they're not following God as He exists, right? They're worshiping Him like they want to worship Him or how they think God is. And they may feel like they're growing, but look at their life. Look at what they're doing. Are they getting closer to who God is, or are they going farther and getting closer to who the world is? And we already looked at 1 John. There's nothing in the world that is of the Father. He says, don't love it. Get out of there. And so even though they may feel like they're growing in the Lord, question is, are they growing, increasing in the knowledge of the Lord? If you're not increasing in the knowledge of the Lord, you cannot be growing. There it is. So you got those two groups. Well, we want to give evidence to both of them as well. People who are declining. There's a real battle in Christianity. And by the way, it started very, very early. Paul said in Acts, he's actually going to quote it here in just a minute, talking about how he knows. Paul knows that when he departs, grievous wolves will come in Even people coming from among them are going to come in, and they did right afterwards. Even during the apostles, you have in John, I think it was 3 John, talking about the man who loves to have the preeminence among them. You know, people taking over and kind of showing themselves to be in charge. All of these things. So these people need evidence of holiness, evidence of who God is, evidence, and there are so many ways in which we need to address these things, but it really comes down to holiness. It really comes down to who God is, just like all of them. But they conflate the world with godliness, and they think, well, we can have both, and they don't know God, because you can't. And some of the ways in which, the major ways in which this is seen or in which this leads people astray would be in the music issue and in the dress issue and in the textual issue. And so we want to address those things as well. And then on the other side, those who want to keep growing in the knowledge and the knowledge and in the knowledge of the Lord, they need evidence too. They need to know more and more about the scriptures and being able to be equipped to study them and have more tools and things like that. So I would like to be able to, for myself and all of us, to be able to be equipped to give evidence to all people. And now these four designations, it's not a doctrine, okay? there's people. But people need evidence of who God is and what He actually said. And there are things, it's a war out there, and people are fighting against that and trying to misrepresent God on purpose because there's a war. And the Lord says there's a war. And so the question comes, will you get in the battle? Will you get in the battle? I don't want to. I want to live under my rock and just do what I want to do. That's not right. It's not right. But it's what many believers do. It's what we're prone to. So today, there are so many issues that we would like to look at, and we will eventually, Lord willing. Today, there's a video series by John Cloud. John Cloud, and I'll introduce him in a moment, talking about the text issue. Hey, is it important, the text issue? Now, I'm not specifically talking about the version issue, but you can start there. Versions, is it a matter of preference, or is there a reason? And I'll say it's not really a version issue. It is, but it isn't really. We hold to a version of the Bible. We say in our Constitution, we use the King James Version. That's in our Constitution. And that's good. And I think we ought to do that. But we must hold to the truth this is really important. We must hold to the truth in understanding. Because if you just hold to the truth, well, this is the way it is, and we can go beat everybody over the head, King James, you got to use a King James. But we don't do it in understanding, then it's just, that's what they think, and they're just weird. But when we give them understanding of who God is and why. And the thing is, sadly, a lot of these things were not taught very prolifically. They weren't taught very much in churches, perhaps, because I think many believers don't know why they hold to it, and they're not able to give evidence for why we hold to the King James. And again, it's not really about the versions, and we'll talk about that soon. But, you know, people, all these versions, they create confusion. They do, and they don't say the same things. And part of the argument is, well, it's just the meaning that matters, not the words. And does the meaning matter? Yeah, it does. Of course, I would agree, the meaning matters. But if the words don't matter, then how do you know the meaning? And if I change the word, does it change the meaning? Well, it depends on how specific you interpret the meaning. If I said, I ran to the store, or if I said, I walked to the store, now somebody might say, well, you went to the store, that's all that matters. But is that true, that the meaning has not changed? No, the meaning has changed. Did I walk or did I run? And that you think was not significant, but it is significant, and he'll bring these things out here in just a minute. The words are important. So the textual issue, okay, he's going to deal with mainly the New Testament, okay? The Old Testament is written in Hebrew, and there are portions in Aramaic as well, which is very close to Hebrew. Not the same, but very close. And so that's what the Lord gave it in. That's what it was written down in. The original was Hebrew and some portions originally in Aramaic. When we come to the Greek scriptures, the New Testament scriptures, they're written in Greek. And there's not a whole lot of debate about the text of the Old Testament. Not a whole lot of debate. There are some debates, and there are little changes that people want to talk about and debate. But largely the debate is in the Greek scriptures. That's where a lot of the debate is over the text issue. And there is more to a translation than just the text, but if you get the text wrong, how well you translate doesn't matter. We'll talk about that perhaps another time. So there's generally two textual positions. And I assume you've heard this before. You've already heard these things. And I know Pastor Linville has gone through these things. There are generally just two textual positions, little minute positions under here perhaps, but two of them. You may have heard them if you read older, books, they might reference the AV and the RV. AV, Authorized Version. RV is the Revised Version. Okay, those would be two different. They come from different texts. Another name it's given is the received text and the critical text. Or you might have the Textus Receptus on the one hand, and the today it's called the Nestle and Allen 28. That's the latest and greatest. I think they're working on another one. these two different texts. And some people say, well, these are older and they must be better. And other people say, wait a minute, these are the texts that we've used throughout the century. These must be accurate. And in fact, this is what we've always used. And over here, these come, wait a minute, we found other texts that disagree. And so we need to critically examine these and critically decide what's really scripture and what's really not. So, okay, there's a lot more that could be said. I'm really out of time here. But let me just introduce John Cloud. He's the son of David Cloud. You've probably heard of David Cloud. He's a prolific writer, defender of the truth, of the faith. And he has, what is it called? I think it's, is it Living Waters? Living Waters. What's Way of Life? Way of Life. Way of Life. Way of Life is called is a publication. But John Cloud, he is a biblical language expert. He's an expert. He teaches translators. He's created both, and he's still working on these as well, but Hebrew and Greek lexicons. One of the things that they're doing is creating like a Bible museum, not a museum of the Bible, but where they're creating like replica artifacts of things. This is what he is doing. And what we have to come to, the conclusions here, or the basis is, either we're going to believe God, what he says, or we must put God on trial, or we have to put the scriptures on trial and determine if scriptures are valid. And who gets to decide? Either God is the judge, or I get to be the judge. And by the way, that's the nature of the fall, where I decide good and evil. And so either God decides or I get to decide. I need to judge whether this is right and accurate. And those were really the two fundamental sides here. So with that, I'm going to ask Sam to start our video here. It's about 38 minutes. So I think you'll enjoy it. There are three of them. So the plan is to three consecutive weeks in Sunday school, we'll go through these things. Okay. Consider books, codexes, when the printing press was made. And all of that's under attack. He was talking about Erasmus. They attack Erasmus' character or this or that. So many different things under attack. And he brought out Vaticanus. That text, that is one of the two main pillars that all of the English translations are built on, is Vaticanus is one of them. And Sinaiticus would be the other one, and other things. I say that with a caveat, because they're still producing new translations, and we can talk about that later. But really, the problem is the underlying text. He's going to bring out some more things next time. Just some things. There's so many things. I wanted to stop and start talking about some of the things he's saying, because it's like, this is so important. But the text is self-authenticating. It's self-authenticating text. And there's a view here. Either you're going to believe that God said it and it was there, or I have to see it to prove it. Prove it, Lord. And as we go through Scripture, we don't always have a secular source to verify that that actually happened. But either you believe God or you don't. And that's where it comes to. Either you believe God or you don't. And we just show the evidence. We're not proving God. We're not putting him on trial. What we're doing is just showing the overwhelming evidence for what God has already said to help other people see the evidence. But we don't have to prove him. He doesn't need proof. He is the proof. But you think about something else when he began with that book. It's pretty amazing. The man wrote that book. A few months later, he was burned at the stake. That very book. But he died not for any text, but for the TR text, the one that was received by all because of the truth that it contained. He died for that. You know, would you do that today? Is it that important to you? Or would you say, well, it's just your preference? And people died because they saw the importance. They saw the significance because people were changing and twisting who God was, the representation of God. And as we're learning through all of Scripture, the representation of God is serious. I mean, the temple represented God. We're going to look at that, the building projects of Solomon in just a few minutes. I hope you give some time to think about this. There's three more sessions, but I will say this. I think there's four more sessions. Not Brother Cloud speaking, Brother Hitz and also Brother Fox, and they're available online. I would recommend that you listen to all of them because they're all good. Brother Hitz has a lot of things coming at a different angle, different perspective. So perhaps we'll send a link out to that sometime. But let's pray together and prepare for the morning. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the knowledge and the truth that you've given, and the ability to understand these things, and for men and women who've taken the time to know you and to search these things out and to share them with other people. And I pray that you'd help each one of us to be able to do that very same thing, and that we could show other people who you are and what you've said to accurately represent you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.